catcher of your choice. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments, feedbacks, or suggestions, our email is podcast@radiosurvivor.com. In the couple of minutes we have left, I just want to share that today's episode of Radio Survivor that you heard on the air today or online, we recorded an hour-long interview with Christine Eric, and then Jennifer Waits and Christine Eric had another 27-minute-long conversation. More?
This is CNN Breaking News. This is CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking, 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 breaking news.
Hello, my name is Ginger Feldman from High and Mighty Therapeutic Riding and Driving Center, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
And Carmen Borgia.
And we're the hosts of Ukuleles Unleashed. Tune in the third Tuesday of each month from 8 to 10 p.m. to hear the latest,
the hottest, the most raging work
going on in the world of ukuleles.
We'll always have a few friends join us to discuss the finer details of this perfectly fine instrument. Join us as we have a listen to a uke or two.
Ukuleles Unleashed.
On WGXC Acre 90.7.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with music for the masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC afternoon show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Galen, Tom, and Echo of Acre, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM, listener supported radio.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Brendan J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul may have signed a new law to raise the age from 18 to 21 for purchasing any semi-automatic rifle and requires a license for someone to purchase those firearms. But the law does not go into effect for 90 days from signing. And in the meantime, a gun store owner says sales of semi-automatic rifles are brisk. One local gun store owner who wished to remain anonymous said they had a, and I quote, 200%, end quote, increase in firearm sales since Hochul signed the bill. He said, and I quote, that age group understands that they're never going to be able to buy again, and they have a 90-day window to purchase those firearms before the law takes effect. They're not buying ARs, but they're buying semi-automatic rimfires, which they'll never be able to get again. The governor just created a mass of people who now own firearms but may not otherwise have purchased a gun, end quote. Hochul claims signing several gun laws will have an effect in New York. She said when signing the bill, and I quote, I am proud to sign a comprehensive bill package that prohibits the sale of semi-automatic weapons to people under 21, bans body armor sales outside of people in select professions, closes critical gun law loopholes, and strengthens our red flag law to keep guns away from dangerous people. New measures that I believe will save lives, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Ted Remsnyder at Columbia Green Media features Jamie Chaney, the Rhinebeck-based farmer who has announced a run for Congress. Chaney faces Ithaca lawyer Josh Riley and Out Hudson executive director Osan Zoti in the Democratic primary on August 23rd. Chaney and her husband Christian own Falcon Field in Rhinebeck, a cattle farm on the Columbia and Dutchess County border that focuses on Angus beef. Chaney is a Yale graduate who earned her MBA from Harvard Business School. Originally, Chaney was running for state senate in the 43rd district. Then redistricting upended the 43rd district and put Chaney in the new 41st district, which meant she would have faced incumbent state senator Michelle Henchy. Instead, she chose to run for Congress. Chaney said, and I quote, when the 19th district was redrawn, I unfortunately did not see a Democratic candidate in the race that I think can hold his seat and make sure we're represented in D.C. in a way that represents our values and some of the key policy issues that we need, end quote. She went on to say, and I quote, I feel very strongly that the 19th must be represented in that way, end quote. And recent headlines also helped spur her run. She said, and I quote, I am of a generation that never thought we'd go backwards on Roe and thought we'd always expand access to the ballot, end quote. Cheney also mentioned the lack of access to health care and broadband service as motivating issues. Cheney said, and I quote, "The other priority for me is making sure our rural communities have a strong voice that reflects our policies in our smaller towns and smaller cities. I think we've had very well-intentioned policies, but particularly in the Democratic caucus, it's been written from our large urban centers," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Aaron Serbone is reporting for Adirondack's Daily Enterprise that Representative Elise Stefanik is sticking by her endorsement of Carl Paladino despite several controversial statements from the new candidate from New York's 23rd Congressional District. Incumbent Republican Chris Jacobs dropped his re-election campaign last week after his support for a few gun control measures in the wake of the Buffalo mass shooting caused widespread backlash among his GOP supporters. So Paladino stepped up to run for the office. In 2021, Paladino said Adolf Hitler is, and I quote, "the kind of leader we need today. We need somebody inspirational. We need somebody that is a doer, has been there and done it," end quote. Stefanik, whose new 20th district includes Rensselaer County, told HuffPost on June 9th that Paladino's statement was taken, and I quote, "out of context," end quote. Last week, just before announcing his run for Congress, Paladino shared a post on Facebook with several false conspiracy theories, including that mass shootings are set up to create gun control legislation. Paladino first denied posting the writing, later admitted he did, and then told the Buffalo News, and I quote, "I don't even know how to post on Facebook," end quote. Stefanik's press officers did not respond about the unsourced conspiracy theories. Stefanik's press office did not respond about the unsourced conspiracy theories. She continues to endorse Paladino. And you can read more about this story in the Adirondack's Daily Enterprise. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Our nation bleeds out while gun control remains dead on arrival in the Senate. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Gun worship is transcendent in the United States. With 400 million guns in circulation, more guns than people, and only cursory controls on who can buy or access them, firearms are fetishized, celebrated, brandished throughout our society, delivering a devastating daily death toll unknown anywhere else in the world. This idolatry reveres above all else the semi-automatic AR-15, dubbed America's rifle by the NRA. In the wake of back-to-back massacres in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas, both committed by 18-year-old men with legally purchased AR-15-style semi-automatic rifles, victims and their advocates are pushing for genuine gun control. But the Congress, with so many of its members enthralled to and funded by the gun lobby, will only posture, pray, hold a moment or two of silence, then do virtually nothing.
Our two youngest children, Julian 8 and Lexi 10, who were at Robb Elementary.
That's Kimberly Mata Rubio in testimony before the House Committee on Oversight and Reform Wednesday, speaking remotely from Uvalde.
On the morning of May 24th, 2022, I dropped Lexi and Julian off at school a little after 7 a.m. My husband and I returned to the campus at 8 a.m. for Julian's award ceremony and again at 10:30 a.m. for Lexi's award ceremony. Lexi received the Good Citizen Award and was also recognized for receiving all A's. At the conclusion of the ceremony, we took photos with her before asking her to pose for a picture with her teacher, Mr. Reyes. That photo, her last photo ever, was taken at approximately 10:54 a.m.
The teenage shooter arrived at the school about half an hour later. And while 19 police officers reportedly hovered outside a classroom door for close to an hour, he methodically killed 19 children and two of their teachers.
Today, we stand for Lexi, and as her voice, we demand action.
Kimberly Mata Rubio, who works as a reporter for the Uvalde Leader News, continued,
"We seek a ban on assault rifles and high-capacity magazines. We understand that for some reason, to some people, to people with money, to people who fund political campaigns, that guns are more important than children. So at this moment, we ask for progress. We seek to raise the age to purchase these weapons from 18 to 21 years of age. We seek red flag laws, stronger background checks. We also want to repeal gun manufacturers' liability immunity."
Zanetta Everhart of Buffalo also spoke at the congressional hearing. Her 21-year-old son, Zaire Goodman, worked at the top supermarket. He was wounded there May 14th when a white supremacist shooter killed 10 people, all of them African American.
"To the lawmakers who feel that we do not need stricter gun laws, let me paint a picture for you. My son, Zaire, has a hole in the right side of his neck, two on his back, and another on his left leg, caused by an exploding bullet from an AR-15. As I clean his wounds, I can feel pieces of that bullet in his back. Shrapnel will be left inside of his body for the rest of his life. Now I want you to picture that exact scenario for one of your children."
On the same day as the hearing, the U.S. House passed, along mostly partisan lines, the Protecting Our Kids Act, which includes limited gun control provisions such as raising the minimum age for purchasing semi-automatic weapons from 18 to 21. And banning ammunition clips that hold more than 10 rounds, excluding those already privately owned. This bill is presumed dead on arrival in the Senate, where it lacks any chance of reaching the 60 votes needed to overcome the guaranteed Republican filibuster. AR-15s have enthusiastic defenders among Senate Republicans, like Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, who spoke to Vice News.
"Killing feral pigs in the, you know, whatever, the middle of Louisiana."
And then there's South Dakota Senator John Thune.
"In my state, they use them to shoot prairie dogs and, you know, other types of varmints."
While Republican senators protect the rights of a few to slaughter pigs and other varmints with military-grade assault weapons, Uvalde's only pediatrician, Dr. Roy Guerrero, described to the House Oversight Committee what he saw in the hospital as he responded to the mass shooting.
"Two children whose bodies had been pulverized by bullets fired at them, decapitated, whose flesh had been ripped apart, that the only clue at their identities was a blood-splattered cartoon clothes still clinging to them."
The doctor ended by calling on elected officials to take action on gun control.
"You are the doctors, and our country is the patient. We are lying on the operating table, riddled with bullets like the children of Robb Elementary and so many other schools. We are bleeding out, and you are not there.
We need a comprehensive assault weapons ban now." I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 5 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 72 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature low of around 57 degrees. And on Sunday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 75 degrees. And Sunday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers are likely after 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Overture, candlelights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part, we know every card by heart. Overture, candlelights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Sharon Harding reports for Ars Technica that New York State Legislature on June 3rd passed the Digital Fair Repair Act, a bill requiring digital electronics manufacturers, such as laptop and smartphone manufacturers, to make diagnostic and repair information available. Consumers will be allowed to fix many radio-related items or have them fixed at independent repair shops instead of being forced to buy a new model or go without. Medical devices, home appliances, agriculture, and off-road equipment or public safety communications equipment is exempt from this bill, so John Deere tractors and dishwashers still can't be fixed by consumers in New York if Governor Kathy Hochul signs the bill. Quote, nothing prevents third-party repairers from being technically competent to complete digital repairs other than the lack of information being withheld by manufacturers, unquote, the bill states. Quote, in too many instances, repairs of digital items are intentionally limited by the manufacturer, unquote. New York Assemblymember Patricia Fahey said the bill would, quote, help to reduce the 655,000 tons of toxic e-waste produced and typically discarded in a single calendar year here in New York State, unquote. Previous study from the U.S. Public Interest Group predicted that the average New York family would save around $330 per year and reduce electronic waste by 22% with the right to repair. Now, right to repair advocates hope other bills like this one will be passed elsewhere. Read more about this story at Ars Technica. Paul McLean reports for Radio World that broadcasters who use public airwaves to make their own money faced 13% increases in fees in fiscal 2022 from the Federal Communications Commission. For-profit radio stations pay small fees to the FCC to pay for regulating the industry that makes millions of dollars selling advertising on the public's airwaves. A station that can reach 6 million listeners, for instance, will have to pay less than $24,000 in fees to keep minting millions from the public's airwaves. A small Class A station that reaches fewer than 25,000 listeners has to pay $1,105. Quote, unfortunately, the commission continues to unlawfully require broadcasters to subsidize the commission's broadband activities, unquote, the National Association of Broadcasters said in a statement that stretches credulity. Quote, for these local stations that are still recovering from the pandemic and face unique economic challenges in today's media landscape, such an unjustified increase is devastating and risks undermining the unique, locally focused service that our communities rely upon. NAB stands ready and willing to work with the commission to ensure a fair and lawful payment regime, unquote. Anyone with an opinion on FCC fees that, quote, may promote or inhibit advances in diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, as well as the scope of the commission's relevant legal authority, unquote, can file comments in the FCC's online system. There's a link on the WGXC and Wave Farm newsrooms. In the preceding field, referred to MD docket number 22-2023. Comments are due by July 5th. I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. The Federal Communications Commission approved the renewal of the WGXC FM license to Wave Farm on May 25th. The message from the FCC read, quote, "This is to notify you that your application for renewal of license 00001824 was granted on 5/25/2022 for a term expiring on 06/01/2030, unquote. This is the second time WGXC's license was renewed after the station first went on the air in February 2011.
7 FM WGXC. Let me do the first, very first station ID. You are tuned to WGXC 90.7, servicing Accra, Catskill, and Hudson, Columbia, and Greene County. Woo! Thank you, Matt.
Wave Farm, the licensee for WGXC, is a nonprofit arts organization that works with transmission artists from around the world. Transmission artists work with some part of the radio dial, including shortwave radio, baby monitors, web streams, CB radios, and other broadcast forums. Andrew Jones reports for Space.com that astronomers have discovered a second persistently active fast radio burst. There have been about 500 fast radio bursts, intense brief flashes of radio frequency emissions lasting for milliseconds, found since the phenomenon was first discovered in 2007. But only two are associated with a persistent radio source, and this one is within the fringes of a dwarf galaxy nearly 3 billion light years from Earth. What causes these highly energetic transmissions is a mystery. Astronomers guess that the average free radio burst releases as much energy in a millisecond as the sun puts out in 3 days. Most use radio frequencies around 1400 megahertz, while a few have been detected at lower frequencies in the range of 400 to 800 millihertz. Quote, "The big surprise for me was realizing that the new FRB seems to be such a perfect twin to an earlier discovery," unquote, Casey Law, an astronomer at Caltech, said. Quote, "Perhaps some would have preferred to say that the first such association between an FRB and a radio source was a coincidence, because it was hard to explain. Now the second example shows that this is a real and critical part of the life of an FRB," unquote. D. Lee of the National Astronomical Observatories of China and lead of the Commensal Radio Astronomy FAST survey, which detected the latest fast radio burst, told Space.com via email, quote, "I personally favor an evolutionary picture in that all sources repeat, but the activity levels drop precipitously as the source ages. Since FRB 20190520B is only the second of around 500 known FRBs to have so-called PRS counterpart, and both are extremely active, they could, in this hypothetical evolutionary picture, represent FRB's youth, which lasts not very long," unquote. Read more about this story at space.com. Carl Bode reports in TechDirt that antitrust and telecom experts warned that a Sprint and T-Mobile merger would result in layoffs and higher prices. Now that the merger is approved and the number of major U.S. wireless services have been reduced from 4 to 3, employees are being laid off and consumers are paying higher prices as predicted. T-Mobile almost immediately laid off more than 5,000 employees after the merger was approved. Now, over the last few weeks, AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile have all raised costs to consumers. The telecoms are passing the price hikes off as fees and blaming them on everything except reduced competition. For instance, Verizon increased the administrative charge it places on millions of user wireless bills from $1.35 to $3.30. Quote, "To be clear, this is not a price plan increase for consumer lines," unquote, a Verizon spokesperson told Fierce in a statement. Quote, "From time to time, we review and make adjustments to fees to defray some of Verizon's administrative and teleco expenses and costs of complying with regulatory requirements. To that end, Verizon Consumer will implement a change beginning in June," unquote. AT&T also raised rates from $6 to $12 a month on different mobile service plans. T-Mobile also raised its upgrade and activation fees by $5. And if all three telecom services are raising rates, what is a poor customer to do? Change carriers? Read more about this story at TechDirt. And read more radio news at wavefarm.org.
What's the most important issue?
Getting back to the basics of teaching children, not teaching them critical race theory.
And what is critical race theory?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because I don't understand it that much, but it's something that I don't, what little bit that I know, I don't care for.
And what have you heard that you don't,
well,
that you
I'm
don't
not,
like?
Well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't have that much knowledge on it, but okay. It's something that I'm not, that I don't care for.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC morning show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Here in Niagara Falls, the stories may intersect with the intricacy of a spider's web. Or they may churn and rush to fill any space with ooze and ichor, where demons and shadows may maliciously cavort, or they may instead work innocuous jobs at the marina. Our previous stories have brought us here, but here may be a place stories and tales and yarns and tellings are ripped to shreds, where they displace, where they cyclically fade away into mist or emerge soft and pink from the charnel ovens. Each droplet of the falls reflects a corner of the mind. As a story may be different when you are observing it from a scenic overlook, or if it is thick and viscous and poured over your body, or if you are thrown into a barrel and set adrift over the rushing cliffs of narrative closure and suspenseful catharsis. Prologues and epilogues nipping at your arms, a sea of content rushing into your open veins. Now, we delve in between the words and sentences, to where stories cannot go, to where tone and form are leaking and cracked, where the soft belly of temporal clarity is necrotic and obsessed, where the mouth of our narrative foams and forms a great sky cataract, rushing and pouring and pooling and eddying, until only sound itself may be our house, our canyon, our looming and tumescent sky. Lost among the detritus of our details, peeled back until the pullback is back around and pulling, we turn the jewel-hardened sputum of our Niagara and let it catch our light in its facets. We shall spend a special series of moments now, perversely investigating the mystical, unspeakable, and unspoken layers evident in our textures, the tales within our tales, beyond language, beyond reason. Beyond the Western Door. another very singular notion of the power and capabilities of magnetism was entertained thusly. It was believed that a sympathetic alphabet could be made on the flesh by means of which persons could correspond with each other and communicate all their ideas with the rapidity of volition, although thousands of miles apart. From the arms of two persons, a piece of flesh was cut and mutually transplanted while still warm and bleeding. The piece, so severed, grew into the new arm on which it was placed, but still retained so close a sympathy with its native limb that its old possessor was always sensible of any injury done to it. Upon these transplanted pieces were tattooed the letters of the alphabet, so that when a communication was to be made, either of the persons, though the wide Atlantic might roll between them, had only to prick his arm with a magnetic needle, and straight away his friend received intimation that the telegraph was at work. Whatever letter he pricked upon his own arm pained the same letter on the arm of his correspondent.
Reads a book,
Bugle Angel,
engage with the inner material,
color in
yet another sheet of scribbling,
clear,
peacock, body,
small box,
both hands,
dying neck,
or cod,
throat,
play the bugle,
sea lion,
violin player,
bamboo strip,
mournful face of the rotten boy,
kissing the spider web's chair,
hold a spherical object,
woman of the flame,
point at the skull,
kissing angel,
put on fangs,
and come forward,
hold the neck skin,
insert buttock stick,
chin with beard,
goes chick bird,
bulge, blow.
Rhinoceros ribbon on a pig.
Understanding of the bugle player's feathers
and a comical movement.
A thickened kind of space.
Do not move.
Just engage.
Flying shadow.
Back bugle angel.
Relax the shoulders.
Order of sea lion.
Blackout.
Even a dead Roman horseman would negotiate with more skill than you.
What are you going to do?
Come here. All right.
Sure you want. Come
on, feel that foot.
Continued with all deliberate speed through the fall of 1978 in an attempt to complete the trenching, drainage tiling, and clay capping of the southern end before the spring thaw of 1979. Remedial work continued from dawn to dusk, rain, snow, or shine throughout the fall and winter of 1978 to 1979. The containment plan called for capping the entire site with thousands of tons of clay, and dump trucks began to bring it into the site in a continuous caravan day after day for weeks. The clay capping was gradually built up on the southern section of the canal. Eventually, it would be extended over the remedial containment trenching and the entire dump site, and then tapered and seeded it so as to appear as a slight hill. Eventually, the clay capping on the southern section of the site was as high as the eaves of the abandoned homes in 1997 and 99th Street.
Thank you.
A strong effect.
Down a summer on the radio, 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 down a summer on the radio
got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the refrigerator, down 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 a summer on the stove, 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 down a summer on the radio, down a summer on the radio, down a summer on the radio, down a summer on the radio,
on the radio, on the stove, on the radio, on the stove. On the radio, on the stove, on the dead, 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 on the stove, dead 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 on the stove,
on the radio,
on the stove, on the dead,
on the radio,
on the stove, on the dead,
on the radio,
on the stove, on the dead,
on the radio,
on the stove, on the dead, one,
dead,
two,
in the refrigerator,
three, four, with the dead,
with Donna,
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 with
Donna Summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio,
got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the refrigerator, got a summer on the refrigerator, got a summer on the refrigerator, got a summer on the refrigerator,
down
summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, down in the dead of the down of the dead of the down of the dead of the summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, got a summer on the radio, down in the dead of the down of 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 summer on the radio.
Three places around town simultaneously this was going on. So it was about almost 6:30 in the morning. Kathy and I were laying in bed, and she was about ready to get up. She's a teacher. She was about ready to go to school. And all of a sudden, there's a cop knock. You know how they knock?
I don't know. What is that knock? It's
kind of like this. They go. Something like that, but more powerful and fast and angry. Anyway, you know, you never saw cops? You know how they knock on doors on cops?
I don't really watch that show.
Oh, okay. Well, watch it sometime, because it'll kind of prepare you guys for what could happen. Anyway, they knock like that, and they say, "Hey, police, open up, police, open up." And Kathy got out of bed. I guess she was kind of dazed still kind of half asleep. And she opened the door and said, "Do you have a warrant?" You know, and they said, "Yeah, we have a warrant. Come outside, come outside." And they made her go outside, and they rushed in the house and rushed in my bedroom while I was still in bed. Said, "Freeze, freeze." One of them had a gun out. One of them was pointing flashlights in my face. Because it was still dark out, you know? And, I guess at that point they,
Were you naked?
No, I was in my pajamas because it was kind of cold out. I wasn't butt-ass naked. And, they did some other stuff too, but I don't want to go into it. But what they did,
You got a full-on body search there? Is that what you're saying?
Eventually, one of the guys grabbed me and they forced me to go outside, and so Kathy and I, we're on the front porch, and they put me in handcuffs and handed me a copy of the warrant after I was in handcuffs on the front porch. And then there was about five or six federal agents, federal marshals, Tampa Police Department, and two FCC guys started wandering around my house, looking through shit and taking pictures of stuff and rummaging through things. And when they realized that everything was upstairs, which I think, you know, they already knew everything was upstairs, they rushed up the back stairs of our house, and I guess they jimmied the lock on the studio door and went in there and turned the station off, ransacked everything, and started confiscating all my equipment. And my entire record collection, my entire CD collection, the 100 disc player, turntables, microphones, mixing board, transmitter, a keyboard, two radios, a beat machine, four or five broken turntables, a tape deck, headphones, all kinds of shit. I estimate about $15,000 worth of things were stolen. At my stuff in the back of. They took all my. I had a pretty big collection of records, a lot of rare punk records, in a big crate. It took two of these bastards to carry this big crate downstairs.
You gotta watch for when that auction is.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'm gonna get my records back before the auction.
Did you see The Simpsons tonight?
What's that?
The car auction on The Simpsons tonight?
No, I missed it.
So what happened then?
That's a 2018 single from Sarah Devachi. It's called Evensong. Here is Sun Ra and his orchestra with the song Enlightenment from Sound Sun Pleasure, a 1959 jazz release. ¶¶